Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
If you're a millennial, you may very well not know this, but there was actually a time in American history when an American president giving a primetime speech, primetime address to the American people, be it State of the Union address, be it inauguration address, as it was with President Reagan in 1980, that the Iranians would actually release hostages, that they would actually fall over themselves to make sure that they got hostages on the plane before President Reagan finished his address, assuming the role of president, commander-in-chief of the United States of America, the greatest power on earth, get those hostages on the plane and out of the country before he completes his inaugural address, because when he does, the very next thing on his agenda may be to forcibly come and take those hostages from you, to forcibly send United States air power or special forces or what have you. That was the mentality. That's actually what happened in January of 1980. You'll remember, you will have known from reading history. And if you aren't someone that follows history, if you're younger, that's okay. We have folks of all different ages and backgrounds here. But essentially, in 1979, under the miserable, failed, completely disastrous presidency of Jimmy Carter, the Iranians stormed a U.S. embassy and took hostages. And those hostages were held for over a year, 400 and some days. Ironically, dramatic pause. Ironically, the day they were released was when the new president came to town. When the new president, who was a conservative, the new president, who was not someone who was intent on pacifying and trying to find common ground with someone who was truly out of control, as the Iranians were in 1979 and very early 1980, which they still are today, incidentally. But when the new sheriff came to town, the one that was a little bit more intimidating, well, correction, much, much more intimidating to the Iranians. I mean, they were literally putting these hostages back on aircraft to get them out of Iran before President Reagan wrapped up his address. I know if you're a liberal out there, this is completely happenchance. I know that you think that every time the temperature goes up, it's because I'm driving an SUV or somehow or another, we've created additional carbon that's gone into the atmosphere that's causing the planet to warm and that I'm melting the polar ice caps. I know that you believe that cause and effect relationship. But when it comes to President Reagan and when it comes to the Iranians in 1979 and 1980 taking U.S. hostages for over a year, it was complete coincidence. It had nothing to do whatsoever with Ronald Reagan stepping up to the plate, assuming the role of commander-in-chief. That was completely coincidental. You know, these leftists, I tell you what, the idea for the party that lectures us on science and cause and effect, they literally have no idea what they're talking about. They get this wrong so many times. In fact, I think I did a daily dose a day or two ago about this very thing. So yesterday we have a couple of U.S. boats that were seized by Iranians. The story goes, and look, I don't know. You know, you don't know what to believe, especially with this administration. I mean, is it as bad as a Hillary administration would be? That's up for debate. That's a toss of a coin. Both of these administrations, God forbid we have another Clinton administration, but the Obama administration is as corrupt as any I'm aware of. And Hillary Clinton, she may really find a way to become more corrupt than this. I mean, she's off to a great start, being investigated now for possible public corruption, trying to use her so-called charity to receive money in exchange for political favors through the State Department or through a future Clinton presidency. But I don't believe anything that this administration tells me. I really don't. So what I know is there were a couple of boats that were intercepted somewhere in the Persian Gulf by the Iranians. And what I know is that there were 10 sailors on those two boats. And what I now know is that they've been returned. They have been released as I consider this hostages. I'm sure this is not the words the administration would use. I'm sure this was some sort of an unscheduled meeting, or they're probably having a picnic or exchanging niceties. I don't know. Maybe it was some sort of a matchmaker thing. Maybe they were, who knows, having a beer summit. I mean, whatever other nonsense we hear coming out of the Obama administration. But nonetheless, this is really all we know. There's been rumors that one of these boats broke down. Then the Iranians are saying that it was within their territorial waters, which territorial waters extend 12 miles from a coastline of a sovereign nation. So Iran, you know, 12 miles from their coast, would be its territorial waters. The same thing that they claim this Farsi island or something, which is where it appears this may have taken place. 12 mile perimeter around the island would be their territorial waters. Now, is that really what happened? I mean, I don't know. Do you believe, given the opportunity, given the choice, do you choose to believe the Iranian leadership or President Obama? I mean, on the one hand, we've got death to America chants. We've got, I mean, the list is as long as my arm. The offenses of the crazy offenses that are committed by the Ayatollahs and the radicals in the Iranian government. I mean, it's overwhelming how maniacal, how crazy, how evil this regime is. Oppressing its people, engaging in proxy war against the United States in Iraq and elsewhere, using Hezbollah as its proxy army as well to engage in acts of terror against interests of the West, Israel. I mean, anything that really, frankly, opposes the Islamic Republic of Iran's view that Sharia law should be the way of the world, that this is what they do. So this is the true antithesis. I can't say this enough. I can't say this strongly enough. The Islamic Republic of Iran is the 100% true antithesis of what the United... You know, is it what we are today, given the speech I had to listen to last night, which, by the way, we'll get into that after this first break, but the Islamic Republic of Iran is 100% the antithesis of what the U.S. was founded to be. Is that what we are today? Based on the speech I heard last night, I'm not so sure. It's what the American people still are, but is it what our leaders are? Absolutely not. The question is just how much has Obama successfully, in his words successfully, in my words unfortunately, transformed the United States into something new. As he said, as he was preparing to become president, this is the greatest nation on earth. Join me and helping to transform it. Makes a lot of sense, right? So anyway, we know that there's some sort of a... There was some sort of a situation with the Iranians where they captured two of our boats, 10 of our sailors, reportedly nine males and one female. You know, my original thoughts were these special operations forces? Because special operation forces are known to use these boats. And what's going on here? But bottom line, what we do know is that hostages were taken. American hostages, American service members, sailors, the United States Navy, were taken hostage against their will. Our boats were confiscated. They were returned, but they were temporarily confiscated. Sounds like a new Obama government program, confiscating wealth so as to help those in need. I mean, I guess in that sense, we really helped the Iranians out. Maybe we gave them some technology that we had on the boat, some GPS or what have you, some secret weapons. But to me, there's something else going on here. Why would we be a mile, which I've heard a couple of stories. One said that we ran ashore. One story that I read online, that's not been what I typically have come across. Most have said that the boats drifted a mile or two inside of Iran's territorial waters, or what they claim to be their territorial waters, which some of this, there was an incident here a year or two ago that Iran had a run-in, I think it was with the British, and they did this, sounds like pretty much the same thing, but they were claiming territorial waters that's based on disputed boundaries. So was it something like that? Were we engaged in some sort of a covert operation? Were we minding our own business and were intercepted in international waters? Were the Iranians claim it's a territorial water? I mean, I don't know. I know this, when the administration talks, I don't believe them. And then on the other side, I've got the Iranians. I don't believe them either. Anyway, but they've returned the 10 hostages. They have returned the boats, as far as I can tell from the latest reports. So anyway, this is what happens. This is what happens when there's an absence of strong U.S. leadership. I mean, you can compare and contrast the two. You can say it's coincidence, or your liberal friends can say it's coincidence, but I'll tell you what, on the one hand, the facts tell me this. President Reagan gives an inaugural address in 1980. Hostages are released. Over 100-plus hostages, 1980, after they had been detained for over 400 days. 2016, President Obama takes the stage to give his final State of the Union address, and what happens? The Iranians, once again, I mean, look at that common theme. Iranians are taking hostages. The Iranians take 10 sailors hostage the day he speaks. So anyway, that's what happens. And then on top of this, we've got this, I mean, in the backdrop, or really this, the very foundation of this whole thing is, can be traced back to some degree to the Iran deal. I mean, yes, the Iranian government's maniacal, crazy people. Yes, they hate us. Yes, they don't want us in the Persian Gulf. They don't want us anywhere over there. I get all that. But you cannot ignore the Iran deal and its role in this, especially when parts of that deal are supposed to be implemented this week. So anyway, guys, I've got to stop and take our first break. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit about this fantastic, fantastic speech last night we heard from Emperor Obama himself. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try? Well, welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is, Wednesday? It's January the 13th. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, last night, who even watches this thing? I saw in an article that Obama's State of the Union addresses, the amount of people listening or watching that is less than most of the modern presidents. In fact, it looked as though it trended down almost every year since he began giving these. You know what? They're not speeches. They're lectures. They're lectures. The State of the Union lecture. That's what we should call this. Mr. Professor Obama himself taking the podium to lecture the American people, to lecture the Republicans in Congress, to lecture the conservatives. That's what he did. In fact, at one point last night, he was lecturing us. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He was lecturing us on political civility. The very same man who, to his supporters, as he was running for president, he said, of the Republicans, when they bring a knife to the fight, you bring a gun. The very man who called people who cling to their guns and their Bibles or to their religion, bitter clingers, right? The bitter clinger reference. I mean, the man who goes out of his way to constantly. That was another thing. He said last night that we're not supposed to, you know, let's not, you know, judge or, you know, look at Americans as black Americans, white Americans, Hispanic Americans. I mean, who does this? I mean, this is the tool of the left to separate, to segment the population, the citizens of the United States into all of these little bitty groups based on the most superficial of all things, their skin color, their ethnicity, their gender, their sexual preference, I mean, what have you. This is what they do. Then they constantly scold us. In fact, I saw tweets some reports about the Republicans, you know, putting Nikki Haley, who's the daughter of an Indian immigrant, you know, she's now governor of South Carolina. Republicans chose her kind of as the token minority. Are you kidding me? I mean, take a look. Take a look at your presidential field. We've joked about this from the beginning. Four old white guys and a Clinton. Now you're down to two old white guys and a Clinton. If Joe Biden gets back in the mix, we're back up to three old white guys and a Clinton. Now, if Elizabeth Warren were to jump into the mix, now we could have some fun with that. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is what, 132nd Native American? I mean, I know people who would not consider themselves Native American, not because they don't want to be, just because they're so distantly removed from that relative that is Native American. They wouldn't consider, they're closer than Elizabeth Warren is to being Native American, and it never even occurred to them that they're Native American. I mean, I have a second or third great grandparent who was a Blackfoot Indian. Now, I don't know if she was 100% Blackfoot Indian or one of her parents were or what have you. But I've never once thought of myself, not because I don't want to be or don't care to be. I mean, that's so far removed from how I live today, who I am today, you know, just I don't think of myself in those terms. I think of myself as American, to be quite candid with you. But Elizabeth Warren over here is 1/32nd something, and she's got to tell us all about it. She's got to tell us about, you know, high cheekbones, or she's got 1/32nd Native American in her family heritage and in her genealogy. But Obama's up here telling us let's not differentiate by this. Who does this? It's the left. I could not care less. I have zero concern over someone's race. I have zero concern over someone's gender. I mean, don't try to tell me that Bruce Jenner is a woman, Caitlyn Jenner. You know, the party of science. Don't try to tell me Bruce Jenner is a woman, Caitlyn Jenner, whatever. But stop. I'm not going around just randomly saying, hey, you a minority? Are you a woman? You know, what's your gender? What's your sexual orientation? Most of us don't function like that. This is absurd. It's the left that does this. It's every time someone comes to the political stage, they want to know what's your ethnicity, what's your race, what's this, what's that. Who cares? I'm serious. Who cares? I mean, in the sense that you should be proud of it, happy with who you are, that's great. I've got no problem with that. But I'm talking about who cares in the sense of, you know, it makes a difference. It makes a difference if you're a certain race or a certain whatever, ethnicity. I mean, the Democrats preach to us constantly that they're the party of diversity. They're actually monolithic. They're monolithic in the way that it matters, which is ideologically, which their ideology, which was echoed in this speech throughout the entire thing, beginning to end, is government is more important than the individual. Government knows best. Government is the solution. You have a problem? Boom. Government will solve it. You have a need? Boom. Government will solve it. You need to go to school? Government will pay for it. You need housing? We'll help you out. You need to help taking care of your kids? Government will provide for that. I mean, it just keeps going on and on and on. We need a solution for something? Boom. Oh, I heard Obama last night in his speech actually say the government was going to help show the path to these energy companies towards, you know, cleaner solutions. I mean, how in the world? Look at everything the government touches. It completely falls apart. It's an utter disaster. It's a mess. And he's telling us he's going to point the energy companies in the right direction. I mean, the arrogance of these people. They have no clue. They don't even know. They don't know. They don't care that they don't know. All they know is that they want control. And that left to your own devices, you're going to do something that they do not like and that should be outlawed or what have you. This is really, if you didn't watch the speech, this is essentially what I'm saying to you is the solution for everything. Government. That's what he thinks. Government is the solution. And then of course, mixed in there is a lecture about climate change, a lecture about not dividing people amongst racial or ethnic lines. When again, they're the ones, I mean, pot meet the kettle, right? But I'll tell you, the one thing we did not hear was what truly makes America great, which is an idea that was laid out in the Declaration of Independence. And I did the Daily Dose, which they're going to be released again soon on this podcast feed, on the website as well. But nonetheless, today's Daily Dose, I talked about this. You know, America is based on an idea. It was set forth in the Declaration of Independence, where the founders, where Jefferson wrote, you know, the Declaration to the King of England and explained to him the reasons, the dozens of reasons as to why they were declaring their independence. And they all revolved on that government, on that king stepping in and doing things against the will of the people. And it had reached a point to where the founders and the American people could no longer look away. They had to see it for what it was, which was tyranny, and they said, we no longer choose to participate in this. We are now an independent state that is no longer part of your kingdom. And that document was essentially a death warrant. So the idea set forth in that, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then they go on. When they ratify the Constitution, they include a Bill of Rights. First of all, they clearly define the role of government. They clearly define what the federal government can do and what each branch is responsible for doing and how it goes about doing that. But then they go a step further and they list in the Bill of Rights individual freedoms, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. They go ahead and take the time to list those out. But they say in there, you know, hey, just because something isn't listed as a freedom that has been reserved by the people, reserved by the states, this freedom, it doesn't mean that the government can control it. The people and the states reserve it. In other words, what's written in here is meant to clearly define the government, not to clearly define the rights of the people. In a case where it's uncertain whether the government has the right or the people have the right, the founders deferred to the people and to the states. This is what they sought to do. This was the very idea of our country. This was the ideas that they thought were necessary, and they were right on preserving life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You didn't hear these things last night. You didn't hear the Constitution talked about. You heard about new federal programs and Joe Biden running, you know, curing cancer and delivering, what, internet access or what? I don't even know. You can't keep up with this. It's one thing after another. Going to the moon in the 1960s. You know, he made a comment in there about, we didn't reject the science of going to the moon. Of course, that was a parting shot to those that disagree with him on the quote-unquote climate science. In other words, hey, we went to the moon, and we didn't reject the science there, so don't reject the science on climate change, or you're going to cause America and the world to be destroyed. I mean, this was the speech. One ridiculous promise, assertion, thing that he was going to do, you know, give away for the American people, give away for his voter base, what have you. And of course, a lot of this is preemptively trying to frame the debate for the 2016 presidential election, which, if you've been following, is both interesting and terrifying. On the one hand, Hillary Clinton is behind Bernie Sanders. I saw two polls, I think this morning, that had Hillary behind him and by 5 points in Iowa, and I think maybe even 10 points or close to 10 points in New Hampshire. Now, they're both socialists, but one is a completely dyed-in-the-wool, wears it on his, you know, proudly on his lapel, the I am a socialist pin, and he runs around telling everybody. Of course, now he's telling us democratic socialists, which, look, don't try to confuse us on this, Bernie, nutty professor. You're a socialist. You've admitted it. We know it. Let's just keep this simple and straight to the point. So Obama, in pure Democrat liberal fashion, gets up on stage and gives us a plate full of socialism. And of course, this is meant to support, to help these candidates, whether it's, look, we can debate whether he's, if he wants Hillary or, you know, if he wants Bernie or what he wants. That's kind of irrelevant. What he wants is what he's started to stay in place. And the only way that's going, well, I don't want to say the only way, but one way to assure that's going to happen is to make sure that the next president is a Democrat. No matter who it is, if Joe Biden gets into the mix, if Elizabeth Warren gets into the mix, if sexy, sexy, sexy Martin O'Malley gets out there and flexes his pecs another 10,000 times, and maybe he gets his voter base to the polls. I mean, whatever the case, Hillary Clinton, it doesn't matter. To Obama, it's about maintaining control. It's about maintaining his policies. It's about not reversing the things that he's put in place, the socialism he's put in place, the big government he's put in place, the things with his name on it, like Obamacare. These things matter to him. These are a shrine to him. Anyway, I've got to take another break. When we get back, we'll wrap this up. So sit tight. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing or promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information, and you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Welcome back to the Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Wednesday. It is January 13th. It is a pleasure to be here. You know, Obama was giving us a list last night of things he was going to do. You know, save the planet, make college free. I mean, these are a couple of the biggies, you know. He of course said he was disappointed. The one area he wished he could improve upon was finding a way to bring the parties, to bring America together. Are you kidding me? This guy can't be serious. This is pure sophistry. But regardless, this is what he says. I'm just telling you what he says. And I'm, you know, I don't know that I've seen numbers yet on what the cost of these, I don't want to call them proposals. It's, part of me thinks he doesn't care if Congress acts or not. He's just going to start arbitrarily signing executive orders. Free community college, check. Take guns away from everyone to make people safer, check. Whatever. What's next? Outlaw cancer, check. Outlaw death and war, check. I mean, in this guy's mind, there's nothing he can't do. There's nothing liberalism can't do. There's nothing government cannot do. But it comes at a cost. And while we did not hear anything about America's greatness, about the foundation of America, about the ideas that led to prosperity in America, about the things that make all the good things we have, all the freedoms, all of the material wealth, what makes those things possible is truly unique throughout the history of the world. I mean unique. Governments typically deliver poverty, oppression, hopelessness throughout the history of the world. I mean, look at the history books. This is not really up for debate. The United States comes onto the scene and they deliver freedom, liberty, and prosperity like the world has never known. And why? I'll tell you why. Because of the ideas set forth in the Declaration and the ideas set forth in the Constitution. And those things were not discussed last night. And I fear that combined with the direction that public education has taken, that many Americans have no idea. You know, you compound that with the fact that most people believe history started the day they were born. We have a difficult time relating to things as they were prior to our existence. And the idea of lifespans in the, I mean, heck, in the 30s and 40s for people back, you know, years ago. Look at what happened to the lifespan over the course of the 20th century in the United States. It grew dramatically, increased dramatically. And those things are not by happen chance. And the point is, if the ideas that made those things possible are erased from our history books, are overturned by an Obama executive order, edict, decree, what have you, then what's going to keep them as possibilities moving forward? I mean, if we begin to erode the foundations upon which we built this fantastic society, this beautiful place that we called America, if we begin to erode those foundational liberties, the separation of powers, the true role of government, how do we expect the society to stand? I mean, we see places that don't have those things built into place, those liberties, those foundations, they lead to misery. They lead to poverty. They lead to tyranny. They lead to, you know, you lose your liberties. You give up so much. The equal sharing of poverty. Whatever you want to say, this is what it leads to when there's not a foundation in place like the Constitution and the Declaration. And when those things are not defended vigilantly, protected at all cost, we risk our constitutional republic crumbling. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time, gradually. But nonetheless, it can be happening all around us, and we don't even notice it. So even though he didn't talk about those things, which he should have, which should be something every president talks about every time he gets in front of a podium, I believe this. I mean, these things, we talk about wanting to help the rest of the world. This is one of the ways you do it. You are an ambassador. You are an ambassador for freedom and liberty. You are freedom's biggest spokesperson, the biggest cheerleader, whatever. The constitutional foundations need to be intertwined in every single statement you make. Of course, I'm dreaming with this president. I get that. But we didn't hear those things. We also didn't hear about costs, right? Do you know the current debt? The current U.S. debt is 18, I'm going to read this number with the commas, because I think, and not you, but just so maybe this helps communicate it to one of the people that you know that is apathetic. You ready for this number? 18,880,575,800,000. And that's, I wrote that number down when I started this podcast. That number is dramatically greater, larger now than it was when I wrote it down. That number is 18,880,575,800,000 plus in debt. And then you factor in that two-thirds of the federal budget, which I don't even know if we can call it budgets. We've gone through years where we haven't even had a budget, but two-thirds of government spending is entitlement spending and interest. Two-thirds. You know, we talk about the war in Iraq as being this thing that broke the American budget, that sent us into a spiral of, I don't know, spending chaos. Military spending somewhere around 15-17%. And incidentally, it's one of the areas that we actually have a constitutional responsibility to fund. But two-thirds of our budget, two-thirds of our spending is in entitlement programs and interest. Two-thirds, approaching 70%. And all these social programs are off the table for negotiations. I don't know if you've ever had to balance a budget or do something, you know, cut expenses for a business or what have you. If someone says you've got to make this work, and oh, by the way, you can't touch this 70%, you're going to have a very, very difficult time. That's assuming you want to balance it. And in Congress, what we say is everything's fine. Let's just increase it 5% next year. It's even worse. But the point is, all these things sound good. I mean, Obama, you've heard the analogies of Obama, you know, his promises are promising unicorns and leprechauns to people. I mean, why not? I've jokingly said, although there's an element of truth here, why not just come out and outlaw cancer, death, war, bitterness, enmity between folks? Just come out and make a decree, if it's that simple. And one more thing, and I'm going to jump off here, but one more thing that we've got to get figured out. Our leaders have to figure out. Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, other leaders in the House and Senate. You had better be prepared for what's coming this year. This president, you could see it last night. I mean, he gave this speech, but I don't think he cares. Meaning he's going to do what he wants to do. And he'll do it by any means he deems appropriate. Executive order, decree, edict, fatwa, whatever. And these folks had better wake up and had better be prepared to use every single tool at their disposal to fight back against this president. Don't limit yourself. Don't say what you're not going to do. Defeat what he's trying to do. I mean, unless he somehow wakes up and proposes something that's halfway reasonable and logical, which there's no indication that's the case. Based on what he said, it's 100% liberalism moving forward. We're headed towards a Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton America. And that's a scary thing. And Republicans, you are the last line of defense. Republicans and the states, which maybe one day we'll talk about a convention of the states on here. But the states, I guess, ultimately are the last line of defense. But the last line of defense in D.C. is the Congress. And they need to wake up. They need to grow up, and they need to toughen up. So anyway, guys, that's going to wrap it up for me today. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. Email, should you want to contact me, is todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com. Or you can tweet me. My Twitter handle is @commonsensegear. So have a great day. Tomorrow night, Republican debate. NFL playoffs this weekend. Lots of things going on, but we've got plenty to talk about in the news. Iowa is less than 3 weeks away now, so lots of things going on. So plenty of new things to discuss and talk about on here. So anyway, we will see you soon. Have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.